Hi guys, I am coming to you from a hotel room. I know, very exciting. So I am in Seattle at the moment. I've been here for the Microsoft Most Valuable Professional and Regional Director Summits all of this week. I'm going to spend a heap of time talking about that in this week's update because I haven't written anything new or really created much that I would normally otherwise talk about. So I do want to talk about the other regional director and MVP stuff, though, because I think it's very interesting, and I thought some of you might want to know what goes on here. I'll talk about a few other things first, and I'll come back to that, and that'll be the sort of the bulk of the time. In case I look at all a little bit spacey or sound a bit odd, I'm getting just a tiny bit sick. I've got a bit of a sore throat, which tends to happen if I get a bit run down. So I am, where are we? I'm at about 2:30 in the afternoon here on Friday local time. Everything's just wrapped up. And I'm going to be spending the rest of my day there watching movies and maybe doing a little bit of blogging on a couple of things that I do want to publish in the next week or so. Incidentally, when I travel, I've got this big bag of like just all the meds. So I've had a couple of occasions where I have been sick while overseas. And it is miserable being sick while overseas. You know, like proper sick, sort of. I've had food poisoning in Manila, in Hong Kong. That wasn't real good fun. I had fever and really inflamed throat, etc. I think when I was in Europe, maybe a couple of years ago. So these days, I just carry like everything in this one bag. And I tell you what, if ever I get stopped and searched and they look at this, it'll look like there's a freaking pharmacy in this bag. But it means that times like this where I just start to feel it a little bit, at least I've got everything I need, including my Codral, which is a pseudoephedrine, which does make you just a little bit spacey. So if I sound odd, it may be that, and it may be that I'm just very tired after a long week. But be this as it may, let me do my best. So I want to talk a little bit about have I been pwned and pwned passwords, because there has been progress made on that in the last few days as well, since last week's update. And there's progress on a couple of fronts. So number one, adoption of this is just going fantastically. I'm seeing so many tweets from people about, hey, we've just integrated it into this thing or into that thing or to whatever else. I shared one probably at about an hour ago. It's integrated into a Joomla component, which is fantastic. I saw a lot of people talking about it being integrated into WordFence, which is a WordPress security add-on. And actually, the guy that did this, or the company that did this, picked me up here in Seattle. I think it was on Monday, went out for breakfast. Lovely guy, had a very interesting chat. So it was really nice the way all this sort of stuff ties in. But loads and loads of examples of organizations integrating it. And I'm just massively happy to see it get adopted that well, and that quickly as well. Now, as part of that, and in order to try and make the adoption as rapid as possible, and to make it as sustainable as possible for me, I've been working on continuing to make it faster. So if you recall, last week I was talking about the things I had done to make it go quick. And I spoke about things like loads of caching at Cloudflare. I spoke about the fact that I had gone from table storage to just pulling blobs. And I'm going to check some of my figures here, because I'm going to give you the new figures in a moment too. I'd taken it from about 122 milliseconds in the Azure function execution time. So this is how long it took the function to go into table storage at the time, pull the data back before it then sent it down. So there's a total execution time for the function. I got that down to about 54 milliseconds by moving it to blobs and just pulling a blob out of blob storage, which effectively is just a file. So there's like a million something TXT files. So I've made a big gain there. So I spoke about that as well, and then a few other things like Argo and Cloudflare, which I won't go over again now, but yeah, super cool. So when I did that blog post, I got feedback from one or two people that said, maybe when you pick that blob up, make sure that you're not effectively converting it to a string and then back to a file stream before it goes down over the wire. So I made a little tweak to read it in as a memory stream and then send that down with the HTTP response. And it made a really big difference. So I'd gone from 122 milliseconds on table storage to 54 on blob, reading it in as a string, now down to 15. So we're down to 15 milliseconds execution time for the function. And not only is it 15 milliseconds execution time, but the 50th percentile is at 7.1 milliseconds. So half of the requests which execute run in 7.1 milliseconds or less, which is totally awesome. I'm really, really stoked about that. Now, that's important for you because it means that you get those requests back super, super fast, which is very important when this is being integrated into the pipeline of, say, the login process. It's also very important for me because Azure functions in this consumption model where you pay for what you use are billed based on execution time as well as the total number of executions. So the total number of executions doesn't change from this, changes from other things I'll get to in a moment, but the duration has obviously changed quite a bit. So it, for all intents and purposes, what we've just done here is, what have we done? About four times. So about four times decrease, or rather 80% decrease in the total execution time. So I'm very happy with that because it makes it easier to run it for free, which is good. So that's totally awesome. The other thing that's happened is Cloudflare has managed to get the percentage of requests served from cache up. So we're running at around about 80%, 75 to 80% of requests that go to Pwn Passwords coming directly from cache. So that's now served from one of their 123 edge nodes. I'm pretty sure it was only 122 the other day. And then I checked yesterday, now it's 123. So it means that, roughly speaking, 80% of the requests that go to Pwn Passwords come from one of those 123 edge nodes, and they don't have to go back to the origin server here in the West US, which is super cool because it makes it even faster for you guys, and it means that I don't pay anything for it because it doesn't actually hit my origin server. And then, to make it even better, the other thing they did, and I mentioned just the other day that this is something that was in the pipeline, is they have now enabled Brotli for content types of text plain. Now, and I'll just bring up my stats here because I want to make sure I give you the right numbers. In my blog post of last week, the one I talk about, I want to go fast, I mentioned that Brotli can compress response sizes quite a bit further than gzip. And there's a few things that are really cool about this. So number one is that it's just another compression algorithm. It's not lossless, you're not losing any content or anything like that. It's the same content over the same pipes, it's just a smaller amount of it. And every major browser these days supports Brotli, which is cool. So that's one thing that's cool. The other thing that's cool is you can only get Brotli over HTTPS. And it's cool because it drives people towards HTTPS. It's one other reason. Now look, I don't think people go, well, I was going to serve everything over HTTP and then I saw that I could get Brotli and now I'm going to move. I don't think that that's the catalyst. But it's just cool that there's just like one more thing which makes going to HTTPS make even more sense. Now, in my blog post the other day where I talked about loading a page from Have I Been Pwned over gzip or using gzip compression versus using Brotli, I noted something like about an 8% reduction in response size, which is good, but it's only 8%. Have a look at this. So this is what's happened now with Brotli enabled on that text plain content type, which is effectively just all the hashes in an API. So when I made the request with just gzip, I was getting a response body size of 14,557 bytes. With Brotli, it's down to 10,204 bytes, and that is a reduction of 30% in content size. And now 30% actually sounds pretty cool. And this is like for free. It's just, well, okay, Cloudflare's got Brotli enabled, and they're applying it to text plain content type. So this is super cool because we join all these things up together. It's like you're going to make a request to Cloudflare. There is a higher chance today than there was a week ago that you're going to get your response served from one of their edge nodes instead of having to go all the way to the origin. That's going to make it fast. When you do go all the way to the origin, you're going to get it executing in 80% less time than what it did before. That's also cool. And then regardless of whether you go to the origin or it gets served from the edge, you're going to get it with Brotli compression, which means that this content size is now 30% smaller. It's like win, 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 wins all over the place. Everybody's happy. Now, someone did actually point out an interesting thing here. And in fact, I realized later on it was someone from Cloudflare. They said, effectively, the gzip compression, the compression level that Azure is using when the function returns the content wasn't particularly high. They're not exactly squishing those bytes a whole lot. And they said, look, you know, effectively, if Microsoft ratcheted up the gzip compression ratio, there'd be much less difference between gzip and Brotli. That's as much looking into it as I've done. I've not spoken to anyone at Microsoft about it. I suspect that that may be a performance decision. I would assume if they're going to crunch the compression level higher, it's going to have a bit of a perf impact. If anyone from Azure or from the Microsoft side is listening, I'd love to know if this was a conscious decision or if there's optimizations that are just waiting to be had. Be that as it may, I can't change the gzip compression level that Azure uses when they return functions. Now that we've got Brotli there, 30% off, everyone's happy. So that was really cool. In fact, that was all the only notes I had today. I'm really happy to see that. If you are doing stuff with Pwn passwords, please let me know, send me a tweet, give me something I can share with people so they can see the different implementations. Because there'll be people using the framework that you've built this for, or there'll be people interested in other precedents and implementations. So look, that's really cool, and it just continues to amaze me how well this little thing that is totally free and available to everyone has gone. So thank you very much for the people that have done cool stuff with that. All right, let me move on, because I want to talk about what I've been doing all week, which is this. It's my pass, which I am now finished with for this trip. So I'll give a little bit of context first. And look, I hope some people find this interesting. I hope it's a bit of an insight into how all this works. But Microsoft has a couple of programs I'm involved in. And a lot of people confuse, quite reasonably, confuse this as meaning that I work for Microsoft. Although what I will say is when people assume I work for Microsoft, very often it's when they're spelling Microsoft with a dollar sign, which gives you a little bit of a sense of the state of mind they're in when they're blaming me, as it may be, for working for Microsoft. But they can be a little bit confusing, so I'm going to explain what these titles mean. So in 2011, I got a Microsoft Most Valuable Professional Award, which is the MVP Award. And there are several thousand MVPs around the world. And what an MVP does is they specialize in a technology, and you get your MVP award for working with a particular product that Microsoft makes. So for example, there are Xbox MVPs, there are Microsoft Microsoft Excel MVPs, all sorts of different MVPs working with different Microsoft products. I got my MVP award originally for developer security. And you're probably thinking, well, developer security is not a product, and you're right. Developer security is something which has now been disbanded as an MVP award, so now I'm a Visual Studio and Tools MVP. I guess I could have been that. Maybe I could have been an Azure MVP, because I obviously do a lot of Azure stuff. Doesn't really matter too much, because once you're in the program, you get a lot of access to Microsoft people, so they have regular product group updates where you can join in on calls, and they say, look, this is what we're planning with the product. And by the way, all this stuff is NDA, not the stuff I tell you, because that would be a problem if I was telling you the NDA stuff. But there's a lot of NDA covered calls where they're talking about roadmaps for the products. And you as an MVP get an insight into what is coming. You get to have feedback into that process. Microsoft is working really, really actively to get feedback from the community. And they want to hear from people that are working with the people that are actually building software on their products. So, you know, in the Visual Studio and Tools space, they want to talk to people who are, for example, running teams that use Visual Studio, or working in a team, or working in ISVs that are building products for customers. You know, they want to know, what is it like to use this product in the world? So that's why the MVP program works. It's an annual thing. They used to do sort of quarterly renewals these days. I think it's sort of the 1st of July, that the renewals actually roll over. So you sort of have this annual process where you go, this is what I have been doing over the last year as a community advocate, talking about the products and tools and things that Microsoft makes. And they look at it and go, okay, well, you've done, for, say in my case, a lot of public talks, written some blog posts, you know, done user groups, things like that. You know, you're a good advocate for the product. And all going well, it gets renewed. I just actually did all mine before I left home. Now, as part of that MVP award, you get to come here to Seattle once a year to the Microsoft MVP Summit. And what the summit effectively does is it runs largely over a period of 3 days, where over those 3 days, you stay at a hotel here. I'm in the Westin. A lot of people stay just over the road here in the Hyatt. And you stay in these hotels. There's a whole bunch of people on the MVP program walking around with these badges all over the place. And it's actually kind of cool because like a big community all comes together and you meet a lot of people that you see very regularly, meet a lot of new people. And you sort of come here for a few days and then everyone gets on buses and you head out off to Redmond where Microsoft's campus is. And there are all these different sessions you can go to run by different product groups that talk about different technologies. And you get to learn what is coming down the pipeline. So, you know, where are we going with Azure, for example, or Azure, as I like to say here. So what's going to happen? They ask you a lot of questions because they want a lot of feedback about it. And you get some fantastic insights that money literally can't buy. You know, this is information that won't become public for months or sometimes even years, depending on what it is. So you get these fantastic insight opportunities. Now, for this year, I actually came a little bit earlier and I did sort of a pre-MVP day on Sunday where there were several talks during the day, which were by people such as myself to other MVPs. So I did a talk on Sunday about Hack Your Career, and I'll put a link to it in the notes of this video here. So this is, and when I say a link to it, this is not the one I did here, but rather I've done this talk several times before in Oslo, Sydney, and also in London, for NDC. And I did a slightly abridged version here. It had to be about 10 minutes shorter, but it was very much about building your sort of personal brand and what my journey was to where I am today and some of the ups and downs along the way. And it went really, really well. I was almost sort of thinking, if I come here and I speak to a whole bunch of people that have already created independent profiles and I talk to them about creating an independent profile, you know, maybe I'm sort of preaching to the converted and they won't get much new out of it. But what I found very quickly after getting on the stage is it was actually the other way around. And the penny that dropped is the experiences that I was talking about actually really resonated with people. So I was talking, for example, about your boss may not be happy with the fact that you're creating an independent profile and you may get successful and leave. And obviously that hit a nerve with people. I was talking about stuff like the fact that what was a good example? The technology departments in large corporations are often viewed as an expense. You know, it's like marketing and salespeople, they make money and they sort of get the good trips and they get all the kudos from the management. The technology people, which is probably a bunch of you too, they're a cost center. They cost money. You know, let's try and reduce their costs. They're like second class citizens, which unfortunately is still the case in many corporates today. So that obviously really touched a nerve with a lot of people. It was really, really nice to do that talk right at the opening because then for the remainder of the conference, loads of people coming up saying, hey, this was an awesome talk, which is just, it's a lovely feeling. So over the 3 days, there's literally hundreds of different sessions you can go along to and sort of learn about what's happening with different products. I went to less than what I'd normally have in previous years, mostly because I spent a huge amount of time just meeting people. Meeting a lot of people from Microsoft over on the campus in Redmond and just hanging around outside rooms, meeting a bunch of other people wandering around going to sessions. And it's kind of a really interesting time for me now where have I been pwned, grabbed a lot of prominence. I think things like my congressional testimony back in November, especially things like that, gave me quite a bit of profile. So people are, oh, you're the guy. And they want to come up and say hello. And it was just a really, really nice feeling to have so many people want to chat and take selfies and do things like that. So I spent the bulk of my time socializing, which was fantastic. So that's MVP. Now, the regional director bit, and I think this is the one that gets particularly confusing in terms of people thinking I work for Microsoft. Because the reality of it is I don't work for Microsoft, I don't have a region, and I don't direct anything. Yet it is called a regional director program. And what the RD program does is, first of all, I think there's around about 150 people that are RDs as opposed to thousands of MVPs. Most of the RDs are MVPs. I think there's a few that aren't. And that the RD program gets away from being centered on an individual technology and is kind of like an abstraction on top of that. So at the RD level, we're talking more about what is the strategy of the organization? Where are the right places to invest in into the future? You know, so obviously cloud is a big strategy. Where is Microsoft going with the Azure strategy, and how does that tie into Office 365 and other items within Microsoft's offerings? So it's at a higher level. It's awarded to people who tend to have more influence at higher levels. So say in my case, I spend a lot of time with big organizations doing training, a lot of time speaking to leadership there. Obviously, the Congress and the other government things I've been doing give me access to people which Microsoft finds particularly valuable. So that's sort of the way I got into that program. And the RD program is a biannual program. So every 2 years, if you're still doing the things that make you eligible, you get renewed. So I actually just filled out all my RD renewal stuff as well. So everything going well, I'll get my RD and my MVP all renewed in the coming weeks. So that's sort of the RD bit. So after the MVP summit, which went for a few days, we had an RD day yesterday and also for the first half of today as well. And we had some talks from some really, really interesting folks at Microsoft about the way the organization is moving. A lot of information about all the sorts of products and strategies that you can imagine Microsoft might have. You know, a lot of stuff about cloud, for example. And it was really fascinating to hear from people inside the organization that live and breathe this. And if I can find things that I can share publicly, I will share them later on, because some of the stats and figures were just astronomically mind-blowing. And this is kind of the nice thing about the program, because you get access to the Microsoft folks, plus access to all the other people that play these RD roles. And for both the regional director stuff and the MVP stuff, there are people from all over the world, and so many just totally different backgrounds in terms of the countries they work in, the environments they work in. There's people who run companies, people who are developers, people who work in government, people who are like me and totally independent. So there's this amazing mix, and it's just a great melting pot of different ideas. So I think the thing that I'll take away from this week is the opportunity just to talk to so many different people doing so many different things. I would have shaken at least 100 different hands over the last week. And every one of those is a great opportunity to connect with people. And particularly for me, when I go home, I'm sitting there on my own. You know, so, okay, I'm sitting there on my own on a beach a lot of the time, which is kind of cool. But I'm sitting there without people to interact with directly. So I don't have peers like I used to in an office. So I have to sort of make the most of these opportunities to meet as many people as I can. And look, I've learned a bunch of stuff over the last week as well that I will now carry through into some of the things I've been doing with Have I Been Pwned too. So I'm coming away with great ideas. I don't know where I'm going to find the time, but I do have great ideas. All right, so that's what's been happening here. In terms of what is next, again, today is Friday afternoon. Tomorrow I will go to Vegas. Well, actually, first of all, today, as I said, I'm going to spend the rest of the day watching movies and chilling out and doing my best to make sure I don't develop a full-on cold. Then tomorrow I'm going to go to Vegas. I'm going to spend Sunday I'm catching up with one of my mates from Pluralsight and another, I was going to say fellow MVP, but he's now a Microsoftie, Damian Brady. Damian and I have done a Pluralsight course together before on Octopus Deploy, of all things. So we're going to hang out with my Pluralsight friend in Vegas. Apparently we're going to go hiking or something like that, which would be kind of cool because I don't really want to do Vegas strip stuff. On Monday, I will be keynoting at the EpiServer Ascend conference. On Tuesday, I'll be going to San Francisco. I've got a bunch of Pluralsight stuff to do there. And then Thursday, Friday, I'm going to wander around meeting a whole bunch of people from different tech companies, because San Fran is kind of the place the big tech companies are. I'm going to see if I can get some photos in each place or something like that. And then we'll, you know, assuming everyone's happy for me to take photos and say where I've been. And then maybe in my weekly update in a week from now, I can show you some of these organizations, because there's some really, really cool places on the list I'm really looking forward to going to. And then eventually, the day after that, on Saturday, I'll be on a plane back home to Australia and then on another plane because Australia's a bloody long way away and I can't get there in one hop. So that's all for this week. The sponsor has been Gold Security. Gold Security was one of my first ever sponsors, and I'm very, very happy to still have them on board. We're going to see them a heap more throughout the year as well. So please thank them for helping me do what I do. There's a link up the top of my blog to Gold Security, and I'm going to put a link in the notes for or the accompanying blog post for this video as well. Look, I hope that's been interesting. It's been a little bit different to the normal things where I talk about lots of practical stuff I've written or done. But look, for those of you who might be a bit interested in what it means to be an MVP or an RD, I hope that that's been useful. And hey, if any of you want to go down the same path as well, there's a heap of information out there about becoming an MVP or an RD. Thank you very much for watching. I'll come to you next week from San Fran, and I'll have a whole bunch of other new stuff to update you on. See you later, guys.